We're going to talk about boasting in our hope of the glory of God. Okay? So this is from Romans 5. We did verses 1 and 2 last week, and we're going to just continue right there. So it says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. So last week we talked about justified by faith and obtained access, and why those are really, really important. And we talked about standing, right? We stand in the grace that we have obtained access to. So, and then it says, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Okay, so we're going to unpack that. So the key phrases there are boast and glory of God. Okay? Not only that, we also boast. We see that word again in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So we're most likely look at verses 3 through 5 next week, okay? I chose the NRSV version because it says we boast. It uses the word boast, okay? The version I like, which is the ESV, uses the word rejoice, okay? And I don't think rejoice does it justice, okay? The NIV also uses the word boast. So, for most of us, boasting is not, it's like a bad thing. Do you guys agree?
Pride, right?
Huh?
Pride.
Pride, okay? And actually, if you search Google for boast, they do like a timeline, and the use of boast has gone down over the years, so it's not used anymore, like, because boasting is bad, okay? And the reason boasting is bad is because it means that you are talking with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about your own achievements, possessions, or your abilities, okay? You often exaggerate, but, okay, in the old days, people used this word boast in a good way. Okay? And Paul uses this word boast in a good way. And what if you boasted because you had your pride in it was justified? Okay? So I'm going to just go into this real quick. So imagine you've got the spectrum of things, okay? So let's talk about, let's say, like running, walking and running, okay? Do you guys know what the Ironman triathlon is? Yeah, the Ironman triathlon is an awesome thing. This is when you swim for like 2 miles, okay? And then you bike for about 100 miles, and then you run a full marathon, okay? So if you finish the Ironman triathlon, you can have some pride in that. You guys agree?
Yeah.
Okay, you're like, okay. But if you like walk around the block once, okay, and you take like 10 breaks, and you start boasting about that, it's like it's not right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's okay if you start there, okay? You're in bad health and it's okay, right? But if someone starts boasting about like, yeah, man, I ran 100 meters in like 3 minutes. No, okay? So it all depends on what you're boasting about, okay? And the problem with our culture is that we boast about, see, you're supposed to boast about things up here, right? But it's like, it's when you boast about things down here, you're like, I don't want to boast, I don't want to do that, okay? So we've lost this idea of boasting, okay? Because it's like, it is pretty awesome when you do something awesome, Okay? So we have to, so I think the reason we don't really boast, so Paul says, do you guys know what he boasts in? He boasts in the glory, the hope of the glory of God. We'll talk about what does that mean. He boasts in his suffering. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 12, he boasts in his weakness. Okay? It says, I boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Okay? And so, we need like a revelation. What I'm trying to get at is, if we have a revelation of how awesome the hope of the glory of God is, we will boast. Okay? We will boast in it. All right? So that's where we're going. Does that make sense? Okay. Interrupt and ask any questions you have.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How did or why did boast and rejoicing end up being like rejoice and boasting end up being like the same?
Similar?
Yeah.
Yeah, rejoice is like, see, when you rejoice in something, it's like you're like, it's joy is beyond just happy, right? Joy is like, think about when you were really joyful, right? There's a, and that's the thing, is that our understanding of God has to be more than just intellectual, right? If your Christianity is just like, you just believe the right things, you will not boast about it. You will not rejoice about it, right? You have to like, boasting is like, you have to like really get into it from the bottom of your heart, right? So both have that connotation. Okay? Boasting, glorying in it, or exalting in it. Okay? So I'm going to just try to go really quickly over the glory of God. Okay? And so, the glory of God, I'll just share some verses. How's that? Okay. So it says, the Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Okay. So, you know, a lot of scientists, when they study physics and the outer space, they see the glory of God. Okay. When you go to the national parks where there's no light and you look up at the thousands of stars, you see the glory of God. Okay? So you get a taste of the glory, how great he is, how awesome he is, that he could create all that. Okay? Isaiah 6:3 says, the whole earth is full of his glory. Okay? So there are things on earth that reflect his glory. Yeah? So I think that's why the first week I shared about Sequoia, right? Sequoia National Park and the Sequoia. And for whatever reason, this was my second time, but I saw the glory of God through the Sequoia. That's why I shared it with you guys, right? Because the Bible says that we're all supposed to be oaks of righteousness, that he might be glorified. Like, as we become like that Sequoia, that oak of righteousness, There's something of his glory that comes in, that shines through us even. Even though we might come in and we're like, we're the most rotten person on earth, okay? But God wants to show his glory by transforming us, okay? And so, remember the sequoia, I said that it's the biggest tree by volume in the world, okay? And so, when you look at it and you look at its size, and its age, right? 3,000 years old. The fact that it could survive fires, lightning, all kinds of stuff, and still be there, it's like a sign of God's strength and his wisdom and his eternal nature, right? So we get a glimpse of his glory, right? So while we're alive, guys, like, it says that our view of God's glory is dimmed. Okay, but when we die, we'll see him as he is. Okay. Colossians 1:27 says, talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? And so, and this is the glory that I want to talk about, which is the glory that you, your life, gets to participate in. Not just the glory in the heavens, right? Not just the glory on earth, which is external to us, and not the glory that we'll see when Jesus comes back, but it's the, Paul had this hope, he said, we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Okay? And so Romans 8, for example, talks about how we will be glorified with him, right? It says that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Okay. Now, the interesting thing is Romans 3, for those of you, this is kind of a, like a major verse in the Bible. It says, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? That's our life without God. That's pre-Jesus Christ, is we will all fall short of the glory of God. Okay? No matter how awesome of a human person you are, you will fall short. Okay? But once God comes into your life, even if you're the most rotten, most wicked person, okay, you can share in that glory. Okay? You will be, when we die, we'll be glorified in such a way that C.S. Lewis says that, let's say in heaven, Daniel will be so glorified that if you saw Daniel, you'll want to worship him. That's how unbelievable we will be when we're glorified. Okay, we cannot understand that because we're down here on earth, right? But when our bodies are fully healed, when we're made, you know, perfect, like, we'll want to worship each other. Except we won't, obviously, right? Because we'll all be glorified. Okay. Okay. But you get the idea, right? So, I'm trying to get across this idea of boasting in our hope of the glory of God. Okay?
I keep thinking of show off when I think of. So we're like showing God.
Showing off in
of
a good
God.
Way.
Yeah, but it's in not like, way. Not like, hey, look at
That's
me.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Because
okay?
Boast to me, I don't even understand, to be honest, how rejoice came from. Because rejoice is
kind of a glorified. It comes from the Greek word.
Yeah.
So
it's technically, it's a root.
We have to translate it somehow, okay?
Right.
But now the opposite of this is what I'm going to call the discouragement cycle, okay? So the way the discouragement cycle happens is that, okay, so you guys come to church, or you guys go to even fall conference or the gathering, and you hear a teaching and you have a great small group time and you feel like all pumped up, right? The discouragement cycle happens is like, as soon as you get home, perhaps, I go home, and then let's say something ticks me off at home, and then let's say I get in a big fight with Amanda. Then I'm like, what kind of a crummy Christian am I, right? What kind of a hypocrite am I, right? Or you go into work tomorrow, and then something really bad happens, right? Something discouraging happens, right? Or you go home and you just feel sick, and you're tired of feeling sick, and you know, you just feel like the, you know, things are against you, right? So there's this, because like our life isn't perfect yet, right? So there's this thing called the discouragement cycle, and so the discouragement cycle happens when an event happens and then we interpret it like apart from God's light. So we interpret it a certain way, okay? And then it can, and a lot of times we, what can happen after that is, I'll call self-condemnation. Is we'll say it's our fault, right? We'll take more blame than, okay? And then out of that, we'll take an action that God never intended, okay? And so I was talking with, some of you might know this woman, Molly Ramos. You guys know Molly? Some of us know her, right? She's an amazing campus staff worker, okay? So she does ministry on campus to college students, right? But what happens is that in a certain region in America, a lot of staff are quitting, okay? And the reason is because they go there with great hopes of the glory of God. They go, and they're like, we're going to reach this campus, and we're going to teach students, and non-Christians are going to come to the Lord. They go with this hope, right, of sharing in the glory of God. They want to see the glory of God in their ministry on campus. They go, and then the ministry doesn't grow. In fact, the ministry just kind of seems to stagnate or get smaller and smaller and smaller. So they get discouraged, okay? And then they say, you know what? It probably means I'm just not a very good minister. So they're like, you know, it's not for me, okay? And then they quit, okay? So there's this region where the discouragement cycle is happening, right? And see, Molly, she's actually gonna come to VCF soon, I think. We're gonna invite her. And if you hear her, she boasts in the Lord. Okay? And you don't get annoyed at her. She boasts in the power of God. She boasts in her hope of the glory of God. And the thing is that what she's learned to do is she's learned to go past that discouragement cycle. Okay? And that's what I want for us, is like to learn to boast in the hope of the Lord, hope of the glory of God, and get past our normal discouragement cycles, okay? You had a question?
No, I had a comment.
Okay.
In my language, there are two words for boasting and in Amharic. One is the kind of boast we're talking about. Is like, it has like this connotation of leaning against something. So like, that's what you're boasting about. Like it's, but then the other is called, that's called memmekat.
Yeah.
And the other is Bura, which is boast about yourself or something.
Yeah, right.
So it's like a totally different.
Yeah. See, we're not Christians. We're not boasting in ourselves. We're boasting in,
but
we're leaning on
the first one.
Christ.
The first one, leaning on God.
Okay, good, good.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you give me some examples of boasting?
Okay.
Some language.
Some
language. Like that Molly would say, for example. What does it sound like?
Is it okay if I don't answer that directly right now? How about this? I'll go through the rest of what I've prepared, and maybe that'll give us some language. Okay? Okay. I'm trying to hurry because I've got 30 minutes, okay? So I'm going to go to the next scripture here, and we'll spend the rest of our time here, okay? In Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, okay? It says, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. And uneven ground shall become level. And the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Okay, you see that? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. It's going to be revealed in the desert. Okay? And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay? And I'm going to talk about, notice that it's, God says, in the desert, prepare a highway for our God, make a straight way for our God. Okay? But there are four things in the desert. There's valleys, mountain and hill, uneven ground, and rough places. Okay? So valleys are places in our lives that need to be lifted up. Okay? So, for example, these could be places of, some people are prone to sadness. You just get really, really sad. Okay? Something might happen and it just hits you. Some of us are prone to deep discouragement, right? So the Bible talks about when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. It's like a shadow. You don't feel the presence of God there. Okay? You feel lost. That's the valley. Okay? There are things in us that make us more prone to feeling alone, sad, discouraged, okay, through the valley. The mountains and hills, these are places in our lives that need to get be brought low. They have to get humbled by God. Okay? The uneven ground, it's not just uneven, but there's like, in Jeremiah, it also has this meaning of like, it leads you astray. The uneven ground leads you astray from what is right. Okay? So these are places in our lives that can go astray. Even though we all believe we should do the right thing, okay? Our hearts will sometimes just go sideways. Okay? Even though we don't want to do that, we know it's not right, we'll still do that. Those are the uneven grounds in our lives. And it says that the uneven ground shall become level. Praise God. Okay? Level has to do with, physically it has to do with being straight, but it has to do with like becoming fair or becoming just, becoming upright. Okay? And then the rough places, it says they'll become a plain. Rough places are places in our lives that make us get stuck, okay? Or it could also mean these are the things that make you not a blessing to other people, okay? You have some rough edges that the Lord needs to work on, okay? Now the amazing thing is that it says every valley shall be lifted up. Right? Every valley shall be lifted. This is the hope we have, guys, in Jesus Christ. Okay? It means that every valley you have, if you believe in Jesus, then you believe that every valley shall be lifted up. Every valley in your life shall be lifted up. Okay? Every mountain will be brought low. Okay? Because God loves us. Every uneven place, uneven ground will become level. And every rough place will become a plain. Okay? So then you might be asking, so how does that happen? So let's get into the practicals, okay? So before I continue, did I go too fast? Can you relate to like the valley or an uneven place in your life? Yeah? I'm gonna have some examples from my life. So it's how do we keep these from actually taking away from God? And how do these become places where God's glory is revealed? Okay? And there's a song that it's a Hillsong song, okay? But this is the original Hillsong. Okay? From like the 90s or the, I don't know, whatever. And there's a song called I Will Never Be the Same Again. Okay? And I used to love this song. We used to sing it at VCF over and over. And it goes, and one of the verses says, there are higher heights, there are deeper seas, whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. Okay? And in a way, very simply, it's saying, Lord, whatever you need to do, do in me. Okay? And that has to do with, so every valley in your life, every little valley, okay, every little uneven place, every place of pride, every place where you're rough, we bring it to God. Okay, it's called presenting ourselves to God. Okay, it's a big thing in Romans 6. You present yourself to God. What that means is you bring these things, not just your praise and the good things in your life, you bring the bad things in your life to God. And then you say, Lord, whatever you want to do, do it in me. Okay? And what that means is that, so it's like every little thing. This is what I do, guys, when I meet with the Lord every day, is I'm bringing these little things to Him. Little places of worry. You know, my little regrets from yesterday. My big regrets from yesterday. I'm saying, Lord, change me. Okay, fill this valley. Okay? And when we do that, we're not asking Him to fix it the way we think it should be fixed. We're saying, God, do it Your way and help me to learn Your way. Okay? So it says, whatever you need to do, do in me. A lot of times, we might have places in our lives and we want God to do it like we want Him to do it. We have our view of God, but we have to let God be God. Okay? And that's where the miracle can happen. When we do that and we say, do it in me, and then He speaks to us and we obey, that's where the miracle happens, okay? So, I'll just share with you guys an area of my life where I struggled with the hope of glory. Okay? Now, this is my past. In my present, there might be another area that I struggle with, but this is what I struggled with. And I struggled with the way I viewed my future. Okay? So, will I ever find something that I'm interested in doing? Okay? And the reason is because this is, I came as an immigrant, and when you come as an immigrant, you're like on survival mode. You're just trying to make it, you know? And so, like, we came and our money ran out, and then it's like, as a kid, you're taught, if you're gonna go to college, then you better get a scholarship, because we have no money to pay for it. And when you're an immigrant, when you don't have a green card, you don't qualify for financial aid, okay? And then you just keep doing the next thing just to make it up the ladder, right? But you're never happy with your life. You're never satisfied because you haven't tapped into, why am I here, Lord? What did You created me to do? You're just surviving. Does that make sense? So I found myself in graduate school, okay? And I was hating being in graduate school, okay? I was studying electrical engineering and I hated it with my guts, okay? I hated it. Like, I was so unhappy. And at that time I was dating Amanda, and I could, you know, and she was like, oh man. She was trying to hear me out, but she could see that there was a big hopelessness in my life, okay? And so, even though I had become a Christian, my life had dramatically changed, like I did not have the hope of the glory of God, okay? Because I was stuck in grad school doing something I hated. And so this is what happened, okay? And these are some valleys and some uneven places that I hit along the way, okay? So, some of you know this, but I got a job. I finally got a work permit. I married Amanda, and then through Amanda, I applied for a green card, and then I got a work permit, okay? And then so I could leave grad school, okay? And I got a job, okay? And then my first job on my first day, I got laid off, okay? And some of you know this, because I got a job with JPL, okay, which is a government job, okay? It was with a contractor for JPL, and I knew there was a problem when we went to JPL, and they would not let me in, okay? And then, so the people started talking, and they're like, after an hour, they're like, sorry, Ji-Hong, we made a huge mistake. We have to let you go. But you cannot work at JPL without a green card, Okay? And at that point, I could have just gone down that hopeless cycle. I could have just said, you know, but thank God I was attending BCF, and what I had learned was this: you pray, you seek the Lord, okay? You do your devotions every day, okay? So even I was basically, even though I got laid off, I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna seek the Lord. Amanda cried, obviously, right? She was just like devastated when I called her. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna seek the Lord. So I didn't find another job for 6 weeks, okay? But I have to tell you, those 6 weeks were really awesome for me because I had all this time to seek the Lord, okay? And what happened is that during one of my quiet times, one of my devotions, God dropped a desire in my heart. For the first time ever, I had a desire about my future, okay? Because remember, all I was doing was, as an immigrant, was just doing the next thing just to survive. That's very different than having a desire from God. And the desire was that God said, or the desire I had is, you know what, I'm gonna be the best software engineer ever. Something like, it was just like some desire like that. Like, but I have to tell you, that was the first time I had this desire. Okay? Some of you might be like laughing because you guys have desires about your life, but I never had a desire. That was the first time. Okay, so I got this, and then I found another job. Okay, and then, so I'm at this new job, and I've been there maybe like, let's say 6 months. Okay, and I was taking a break, and I was talking with a coworker in the hallway. Okay. And this coworker was an older woman, and I would give her, like, I would encourage her in the Lord. And I would give her, like, back then we had tapes of the sermons. So I would give her tapes of our sermon. But anyways, my CEO, I work for a small company. It's like 200 people. My CEO saw me talking to her, right? And he said, you shouldn't be talking to her. You know, you should be minding your own business and doing your job, okay? Okay. So I went back to work, right? And then I needed to use the restroom, right? So then I got up and I was going to the restroom, and then the CEO happened to see me again. And he's like, why do I see you in the hallway all the time, right? And, right? And then, so after that, I was scared to go to the restroom. Okay? But what happened is, the next morning, he went to my boss, and he tried to get me fired. Okay? He's like, I see this guy, this Asian guy with glasses, and he's not working hard, right? And what happened is that, thankfully, my boss backed me up. He said, he's doing an okay job, okay? And, but see, what happened is at my company, a lot of people quit, okay? Because they could not handle the CEO, right? Like, some of us, if our CEO yells at us for no reason, we just quit, okay? And so I could have gone down the bitterness cycle right there. I could have gotten bitter, like, he had no right to yell at me and scare the heck out of me, right? Like that. But I was like, I took it to the Lord, see? I presented that to the Lord, and God said, you know what? You're there for a reason, okay? You weren't doing anything wrong going to the restroom or talking to this person on your break. And plus, I'm gonna teach you how to work with strong people, okay? So, over time, my experience working with him became one of the biggest blessings in my life. Okay? I'm almost done here. I'll just give you two more valleys or uneven places. I had been at my work for about a year, and I wanted to quit. Okay? And the reason I wanted to quit was because I didn't feel like I was doing that well at my work. Okay? And to be honest, when I went in, I went in like as the worst developer. Remember, I got this desire to be the best software developer engineer. But when I went in, I was the worst, okay? Because I didn't have any experience. And after a year, I was still the worst, okay? And so like, I was like, I'm made for this. So I wanted to quit, okay? And again, it was like this discouragement cycle was knocking on my door, right? But as I didn't just quit. I sought the Lord. I presented that to the Lord. I said, God, I've been here a year. You've given me this desire to be the best. I'm still the worst. I'm the worst out of 15 people, right? I'm still the lowest on the totem pole. And God just told me, just stick it out. Okay? Stick it out. And then now this is what I tell the people that I hire, is that you guys have to stick it out for 18 months. Because 18 months is when you will hit your stride. Okay? And so at 18 months, I hit my stride. Okay? And then I started getting opportunities, okay, at my work to not be the worst, but kind of climb up the ladder. Okay? And so the reason I'm sharing this is because now I have a decent amount of hope of the glory of God in my future. You know, like, I'm 45 now, right? And I have desires for what I want to do when I'm 55, but I didn't have that, right? But this hope of the glory of God, it didn't just come like that, but it came through the valleys and the uneven places, okay? And so you guys have to take every valley, every uneven place seriously right now. And you have to make that the place where God's glory filled. Okay? And so even yesterday, guys, honestly, I came home and I was kind of deflated, you know, from work. Because I was like, what did I do? So I realized I feel lost. Even now I feel lost sometimes, right? So I had to take that to the Lord. God, why do I feel lost at my work when I'm well established? Okay? And so I'm going to stop here, and we're going to break up into small groups, okay? And you guys have three questions, okay? The first question is, like, you can just say, what is something that struck you from the scripture, from what I've shared, okay? Question number two, and I encourage you to go directly to question number two if you can, and that is, what is a valley or a mountain or hill, uneven ground or a rough place that prevents you from boasting in the hope of the glory of God? Does that question make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, boasting about what's going to come or boasting on what God is doing right now?
Maybe another way to say that, okay, because boasting is a high bar. It's having hope of the glory of God in that area of your life. Okay, What is something that prevents you from having the hope of the glory of God in your life? Does that make sense? Okay? And that's going to grow into boasting. Okay? And then the third question is, what is a key for you, or what will you do differently so that Isaiah 40 verses 4 through 5 can happen in your life? So that the valleys get lifted up. So that the uneven places become level.